This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning, and thank you so much for kicking off your day with us right here on The Morning Run. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me is Julian Ng. Good morning, Julian.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right, so the last time, now this is significant, okay, guys, because the last time, Julian, you and I did a show together was almost exactly 9 months ago. Today is December 14th.
No way.
Yeah, March 15th of this year, we did an episode of Ringgit and Sense. So according to our intern who did the math, that was 274 days ago. So this is momentous here. I'm savoring this.
I can't believe you spent like company resources calculating that number. What was the episode on Ringgit and Sense that we did?
Well, that one was titled, Can ETFs and Robo-Advisors Change Your Life? Yeah.
Riveting stuff.
I know. So look, you can check out that podcast available on the BFM app, which you can find on the Google Play and Apple App Store, and also on BFM's Spotify channel. Okay.
You can check out my blog as well.
There we go. Verylongrun.com. Shameless plug. Why not? Okay. So that was looking back into the past. Now let's look forward to the near term future then. Julian, we are 11 days away from Christmas. Have you begun your Christmas celebration? Oh, rather your preparations, Christmas preparations.
The 12 days of Christmas, right? So technically today is already...
No, I think the first day of Christmas starts on the 25th, and then it's 12 days after.
Because I thought you give the gifts before Christmas, right? On the first day, on the second day, leading up to Christmas.
Is it?
I don't know the technicalities. The song confuses me anyway.
Look, we're going to spend company resources. We'll have an intern look it up as well then, right?
I don't know. I think you can count me as one of those Scrooges, you know. I don't really like Christmas. I think it's so stressful.
What? Come on, man. It is the most wonderful time of the year, as I know, the song goes.
But you got to go out and get presents. Anyway, that's what our story is about, right?
Right, exactly. So yeah, we'll dive deeper into that later on in this hour. Julian, what else are we talking about this hour?
What's your stance on party crossovers? Personally, I can only attend one party at a time.
Oh, my word.
Wait, what is this? What kind of party is this?
Well, so this is a political party crossover.
Right. Right. It's bad. I don't like that. I don't want to vote for an MP who would cross over.
Yeah, you know, party allegiances, you know, and is the crossover based on principles, and is it because of political expediency? We'll get into that discussion later on this hour. Something else we'll discuss: are domestic skills underrated? Like, do we place enough importance on domestic skills? Because nowadays it appears that you can get anything done via an app, also, it seems. So is there an app for everything in life? So we'll discuss all that coming up in this hour. But first, we're going to get to some tunes here, so stay tuned right here. Oh, it's Wild Night by Van Morrison here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Crazy Little Thing Called Love by Queen right here. Just to kick off your morning with us, we're coming up to 10 minutes past 6 a.m. I'm Tan Chung Han, with me, Julian Ng. Now, Julian, in the near future, could we see this crazy little thing called ironing being firmly in the past? Because there's a story this school in Sabah, yep, that apparently was testing incoming Form 1 students on their uniform ironing skills. So forget the test, forget the aptitude tests. They are having to iron their uniforms in front of this panel of what I'm guessing to be teachers or admissions counselors, whatever they are. But that is part of the admissions process. Now, it's gonna got us thinking here. I mean, these kinds of domestic skills, right? Underrated or necessary?
Definitely underrated and very necessary. Hmm. And I think that, just looking at the pictures on that article, which is from says.com, I mean, it's like serious stuff, right? The panel looking very serious, looking over the students. And, I must say that, as far as ironing is concerned, I mean, I have been ironing since I was a kid, because my mom made me do it.
Okay.
And I must say that I'm quite an expert ironer, right? Of, for example, shirts and pants,
yeah,
which are the kind of things you wear, right?
Right. Put that on your CV then.
Exactly.
Yeah, why not?
Exactly. I would like ace this school. But, just looking at a picture, like, there are rules to ironing that you got to be aware of, meaning that you got to...
What?
iron in the fastest amount of time without creasing the other, obviously, right, without creasing the other side of the shirt. And this kid in that picture, he's just doing it all wrong. I mean, he's like, you know, putting on the shirt on the ironing board, like, you got to put it horizontally, not vertically, and you got to insert it into the ironing board, you know, but he's not doing that, and he runs the risk of creasing the underneath of that shirt. It's wrong.
Julian, you're starting to sound like Martha Stewart or someone on those lines. Okay, look, I iron my clothes in college, obviously, but since then, I don't think I've ironed my clothes since I left college. Why? Because I would just send it to the Dobie and it would just do everything for you. I'm serious, right? And then now
it's such an effort, you know, to like pack up your clothes and send it. And you know, pick out the hangers. It's ridiculous.
Oh,
you should just ironing it yourself,
Julian. It's way less effort compared to ironing it yourself. All right, but then I mean, zooming out, right? So it's not just ironing; it's cooking skills and cleaning the home and all
yes.
that. You know, again, keeping in mind there is this gig economy that's out there, and you can get this kind of help via an app, like literally at the click of a button now. So you know. Personally, I really don't see the need or the necessity for inculcating kids with such skills moving forward because, you know, again, I would like to think there is an opportunity cost that time, effort, and resources could be better spent on other things.
I don't know. I disagree, though. Okay, for example, cooking is a good life skill to have.
I eat out all the time.
It's survival, right? And it's unhealthy eating out, and it's quite expensive as well for the amount of nutrition calorie that you're getting. But you should learn how to cook. Like cleaning and all that, you know, you should be able to do it on your own as well. At least know how to do it if there's an emergency or something.
Mm.
I don't know.
Well, yeah. So okay. Look, I get it. At least knowing the basics, like boiling water, just so you can fill up the Maggi Mee cup noodle, or you know, fry some eggs.
Come
okay,
on.
Fine. Fry some eggs. You know, boil some eggs. Whatever it is. Like the
fry a piece of steak. There you go.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
fine.
The easiest thing to do.
Right. So the basic
2 minutes on each side for medium rare.
So the basic necessity is fine, but to spend a considerable amount of effort and skills, and I mean, to the point where you're describing the down to the minute detail as to how to iron a shirt properly, that's a bit much, though. And I think really future generations, we can go away with that. I mean, think about it. They're making wrinkle-free clothes now.
Exactly.
So it makes
ironing
redundant, right?
Well, in a way, you're right. Like, I also question whether I should be wearing shirts these days. I mean, given our climate, you know, shirts and suits and pants are a Western construct, right? We should go to work with our sarong and our batik, which don't really require ironing, right? And today we're, you know, there's this concept of the uniform as well, where you know you're too tired and too stressed out to think of what to wear every day, so you just wear the same things. Well, not the same shirt as you wore yesterday, but you know, like the same style, right? Every day, so, to save time.
Kind of like the Steve Jobs with the turtleneck.
Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah,
right. Got it. Julian, I can agree with you. I'm totally 100% behind bate and sarong uniforms to work. Totally agree with that. Well, let us know what you think. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. That's our WhatsApp number. Again, 018-789-8899. Or tweet us at BFM Radio. So domestic skills, are they still necessary, a necessary part of education for kids moving forward? Or have they been made redundant? Let us know what you think. Coming up, we're going to talk about Christmas and perhaps the proper way to celebrate it. Stay tuned right here to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was the Black Keys with Run Right Back, a track from their 2011 album called El Camino. And you're tuned in to the morning run. El Hano here with El Juliano, keeping you company all the way till 10 a.m. this morning. Big shout out to Juwan Lee. Good morning, or good evening to you, because he's tuning in from Montreal in Canada. How about that? I think, Jules, when you did the show earlier this week, there was somebody who tweeted in from Spain. Was that right?
Yeah. And Australia as well.
Yeah. I think Juwan was also in France recently. Yeah. if I'm thinking of the same guy, yeah. I could be mistaken. But yeah.
We got a global audience.
Yeah, and it never ceases to amaze me though. So keep those tweets and WhatsApps coming in. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. We got a WhatsApp from Darth Vadai who came in, Julian, talking or giving his thoughts on what we were discussing earlier. Whether domestic skills, you know, are they still necessary or, you know, have they been made redundant? Darth Vadai says, domestic skills are a necessity, even though you have a maid. It's like basic survival skills. No, well done there.
Totally agreed. Like, Han, I don't want you standing outside my gate when Armageddon comes, okay? Because you would not know how to iron your shirt at that time.
Right, because that'll be the first thing on my mind. The world, the end of the world is nigh. I have to iron a shirt, right? We got Ro WhatsApping in. Good morning, Ro, saying that domestic skills aren't merely about ironing and mopping. They're a skill set which instill discipline, like waking up and making your bed, invaluable, and yeah, you know, respect the toughness
builds
of the
character.
Daily life. Yeah, builds character. You know, I mean, I get it. But again, you know, is it really productive? Is it efficient?
Of course it is.
Why make your bed when, you know, just a few hours later, you're going to crawl right back in?
Okay, like that one, I agree.
All right. Well, again, you can always be part of this conversation all morning long via WhatsApp and Twitter. Now, moving on to our next story here, Julian. Christmas is around the corner, like we mentioned earlier, less than a couple of weeks away. Now, some of you might be already busying yourselves going out there trying to find the perfect gift for that special someone, right? But consider this, okay? What about enjoying a no-gift Christmas? Apparently, this is a trend picking up right now whereby families kind of opt out of buying stuff. Instead, they come up with new creative alternatives like or experiences and new traditions. One that doesn't involve the materialistic traps that are often associated with Christmas.
Yeah, I totally buy into this idea. Mm. And I, you know, just looking into the history of Christmas, right, the birth date of Jesus, for example, isn't really on the 25th of December, right? Mm. It's some other day, and he wasn't born in a snow-filled land. He was born in the Middle East. And I guess the point to this is that, you know, the Western world, again, commercialize this whole idea of Christmas so that you can go out there to shop and give gifts. Exactly the same thing with Valentine's Day, Father's Day, Mother's Day, right? But all these days, which are supposed to make you have a closer relationship to your with your loved ones, I mean, it should happen every day.
Right.
I mean, I think I sound a little bit boring by saying that, but, you know, Christmas should be every day. Right?
There we go. Just like Valentine's Day should be every day.
Exactly.
Father's Day, Mother's Day. I get it. Now, Julian, I'm sure you're familiar with the concept of the different love languages, right? Like time.
No. Casanova.
Okay. There are several kinds of, I think there are five different love languages. Some are like words of affirmation, touch, time. And one of them is gifts as well. So I'm thinking about those individuals, right, in particular, whose love language is gifts. So for them, the most meaningful way to convey your love or affection for someone else is through gift giving, right? So then, you know, what happens to that group of people then? You know, at the, I mean, because of the rising cost of living, it's, you know, harder to please everybody now. So how do you actually convey your love in the best way without those gifts?
I think, like, if you read this article, which is from The Atlantic, Atlantic usually writes really long articles, which take, it's really long reads, you know, which take a few hours to complete reading it.
Says the author of the very long run.com.
Yeah. So, actually, like, you can give very functional gifts, like, you know, I don't know, what's a functional gift? Like
socks?
A spoon?
Yes.
A bag of coffee, or, you know, make like a bottle, a jar of jam, maybe?
Right. I gave a touch-and-go card once to a friend, and she loved it. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, right? with obviously with money on it, like not just an empty card.
I think she must have been a very touch-and-go friend with you.
Hey.
No, but there was this survey that's being done, according to the article, and, you know, when presented with a slew of options that might lessen their financial stress, respondents were most willing to entertain the idea of giving gifts only to their immediate family or seeking out coupons and sales. 64% and 57% respectively said that those causes of action would be acceptable, right? And those surveys rated other alternatives, giving homemade gifts, gifting or buying secondhand as much less enticing. So we are still living in a slightly materialistic world here.
Yeah, no, and I guess for as someone who comes from a family of nine kids, I am one of nine kids.
Wow.
This is just not practical, okay? Our budgets would just be solely dedicated to gift purchasing for Christmas. So I'm very much in line with this idea, you know, building those experiences that come at a lesser cost. And I think that is much more valuable because at the end of the day, you remember these moments more so than the physical item, right? So I think there's something to be said here about this move towards, a no-gift Christmas and, something that's centered around experiences. Well, let us know what you think. Again, what's the number? 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. How are you preparing for Christmas? And, could it require a paradigm shift? No gift giving, but instead one that's built around experiences. Let us know right here on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was the Ramones with Baby, I Love You. Plenty of love here on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. It's a Friday, December 14th. Tan Chung Han and Julian Ng here, keeping you company all the way till 10 a.m. this morning. You can always be part of the conversation. Our WhatsApp number, 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Julian, is there plenty of love for those who hop over to other political parties? Because according to Bersih 2.0, they're saying, Pakatan Harapan shouldn't be showing them that kind of love. They are saying that they have to reject those who left a party and those who have expressed a desire to join the ruling coalition. They have called this move a betrayal of voters and the mandate given to lawmakers in GE14. I mean, to the point that, hey, you got to hold new elections, maybe, right? So now I know earlier in the show you said that you don't like this kind of political behavior, but then what about the practicality of it though? Because we know that parties like Bersatu, they need to bulk up, right? So if that's the case, in fact, that goes for any political party. They all have to bulk up. This is a volume game, right? So
Game. I really like that.
Yeah, it is, right? The most number of votes wins, right? So, is that reason enough to dilute this?
I don't think
principle?
So. I think you still have to stick to the principles of why you formed a political party in the first place. And allowing crossover at the very base level would open such actions to something that's very corrupt. If you can cross over, that means that you're open to be bought, to be crossover. And as a new nation, or even as an old nation, you don't want to have a philosophy to allow that kind of practice.
Right.
Let alone betrayal, right? This is just a very practical reason why you cannot allow crossover because of the opening for very corrupt practices. And at a more philosophical level, you are voted for a certain philosophy, a certain policy, and therefore what happens to that kind of policy when you cross over?
But that's the thing, right, Julian? Because the Malaysian democracy is not yet that mature. Broadly speaking, we are not voting for those policies yet. In the lead up to GE14, we had plenty of discussions with political analysts who still say that Malaysians are still voting for the personality. It's still a personality-based decision, not one that's based on policy. So we're not there yet. So with that in mind, with that backdrop in mind, you kind of think that, well, these kind of party hoppings seems to be one of political survival more so than about policies or different philosophies.
Why should you foist the need for political survival onto the voters, right?
Right?
If you survive, I mean, since you used the market term like volume game, right? I'm going to use another market term as well, which is that, the market is right. If you don't have the right formula to win votes, then crossing over is like a very engineered version of people believing in you.
Yeah. Right. I mean, okay, look, as a base case, I totally agree with you. And we have had this discussion multiple times right here on the show, right? That party hopping, no, no, right?
No, but, and sorry, just before I forget, right? Because I'm very forgetful. crossing over, I think I personally feel subscribing to this market policy, right? The market is right policy, that actually the voters are politically matured, right? Why are they not politically matured, right? It's the politicians who are not mature. Like, so they are right, right? They are right in having voted at a thing. And I don't think that there should be a reason for a political party like Bersatu, who did not get the votes in the first place, like a lot of votes, to bulk up in those kind of engineered situations.
Right. So, you know, look, my stance here is while I agree with you in principle, but, you know, what about the practicalities? Because, I mean, look, PKR was started by a former UMNO man. Bersatu was started by multiple former UMNO members.
Politics should be about ideals. It right, shouldn't be about expediency and practicality.
Totally agree, right? Yeah. You know, but the reality of it right now is that, you know, then where do you draw this line? Oh, no more party hopping post G14, as opposed to, you know, like how far back do you go, right? And then it seems to be a fudgeable line that you can possibly, you know, kind of kick the can down the road as well, right? So while I agree with you in principle, totally agree. But then how does it manifest itself in reality because of the dynamics, because of the realities that we find ourselves in the political, in the current political landscape?
Well, I think the reality is that if tomorrow you banned crossovers, you know, nothing bad would happen. What is the worst thing that can happen?
Good point there. Yeah. Well, okay,
to the voters, like to the nation, okay. Nothing bad would happen. In fact, something good would come out of it because you get, you know, the good stuff rise to the top.
Yeah, well, okay, well, very fair point there. Well, tell us what you think, though. I'm obviously lost for words here, but I'm sure you guys aren't. So WhatsApp is 018-789-8899. Again, 018-789-8899. Or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, what are your views, your nuanced views on party hopping? I think for most of us, we can all agree it should be a no-no. But then could there be some room for it as Malaysia Baru still tries to find its feet? Let us know right here on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, 6:51 a.m. on this Friday, December 14th, just 11 days away from Christmas. Tan Chung Han and Julian here. I've messed this up a second time in a row now.
I know, right?
Because it's been 274 days since Julian and I did a show together. The last time was a Ringgit and Cents episode. You can check out that podcast. And also, our discussions this morning will be podcasted as well later on today. And you can find that on the BFM app and also via BFM's Spotify channel. Plenty of comments coming in now via Twitter and WhatsApp. Thank you all so much for these comments. And I must say, you know, Julian, this brings me back to the good old days, you know, when I had to play that role here on The Morning Run. And, you know, just to kind of offer that different nuance to the discussion here. And it's gotten plenty of traction here, you know. So I'm enjoying this. In short, I'm enjoying this.
Me too, actually.
Yeah. So we've got comments here from Li Shun, who say that, Julian, you're right to say that it's politicians and not voters who are immature. The ideal would be for Bersatu to win more votes next GE and not bulk up this way. But Tun M has repeated the quote, "We don't have 2/3 excuse for ages now," so he's impatient. Now, well, we've got plenty of...
That's expediency. That's not the right way of doing things.
Right. So now, I mean, I'm looking at some of these comments and we'll get to them in just a bit, folks. But then, Julian, is there a distinction here between, say, party hopping with starting up your own party? Is there one that's better than the other?
I mean, if you're already an elected MP, why not stay with your original party? I mean, you can't just abandon ship just because your own party is imploding, right? I mean, if it does implode at the end of the day, yeah, you can start up your own party. I think that is a more principled way of doing things than to cross over just because it's convenient to do so. And who knows how much was received in a brown envelope somewhere, right, under the table.
Well, we've got Ro weighing in saying, if the government wants to curb our party time, it ought to curb party hopping as well. Didn't vote for them only to have politicians I was against welcomed into the fold. You got Mr. Gunn WhatsApping in saying, party hopping by elected representatives should be banned. KY Ho says that this is an indication of a lack of principles and good values. That's not what we want in policymakers. But it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, right? Because how many of you actually know, like, say, the different nuances? I mean, what are the policy differences between, say, PKR, DAP, Bersatu? PAS is a given, lah, right? You know, versus all the other political parties within the PH coalition, right? You know, as opposed to how many Malaysians actually went to the polls just voting for that flag, right? I think that's the reality that we're contending with right now.
Well, I think that you see it through the implementation of policy. And so far, the Pakatan Harapan government has abandoned quite a bit of its manifesto, some for practical reasons, like they have no time to do it, and others for
fiscal reasons.
Like the ICERT that wasn't ratified, that was originally promised, and in fact, Dr. Mahathir actually promised that in front of a whole UN event, right? And that wasn't ratified. There are some ministers who are performing very well, for instance, Anthony Look, but you don't know the policies of the individual parties, but you know the results of it, right? What policies have surfaced to the top?
Right, but the policies can only surface to the fact, surface to the top after the fact, right? So before that is just, well, here's this piece of paper, here's this manifesto, you know, you can only place your bets based on what information you have at that point in time. Now, I would like to add something else to the matrix, though. So it's not just personalities that people vote for, not just policies, but also sometimes it's the principles, though, because say some of the proposed policies by Pakatan in the lead up to G14, abolishing GST, we all knew that was not a fiscally sound a move to make, right? But people were still willing to vote for them, you know, with the idea of let's get rid of this BN coalition that had been ruling for about 60 years and one that has just been mired in corruption. So it's a principle play there as opposed to a policy play or a personality play.
So I think that going back to market-driven factors, right? What drives people to vote for you? It shouldn't be something that is used as a gimmick, but as something that you go back down to your core principles of being voted in respectfully and because you are implementing idealism, right? A certain kind of idealism. So you don't want to engineer a kind of victory. So right now, I think that people are... Is it a question of being voted in just because you really hate the other party and not because people really like you?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's a very, very important distinction to make. And I think that conversation will gain a lot more traction in G15. Can we really start talking about G15?
Too early? I think that's not enough time to prepare for G15. You know, if you were Pakatan Harapan right now, do you have time to prepare for G15? And when the time comes, are you appealing to people in just saying that the other party is worse than us, so vote for us?
Yeah, no, and I totally agree there. But does the preparation include bulking up? Volume game.
No, no, it shouldn't.
Right. So what, Bersatu should just stay lean and mean all the way through G15?
Yeah, I mean, really? If you can't survive the market, you should quit, right?
Yeah, there we go.
Like with any corporations. So.
All right. A bit of Darwinianism over there.
Proton, for example, I mean, if you need continuous bailouts by the government, you shouldn't be in existence. You shouldn't be doing business.
All right. So again, we are getting plenty of messages here. Thank you all so much, Jerry, Kevin. KY Ho, and some on Twitter as well, not really getting a chance to read them all out, but great stuff. Keep them coming in. We are reading them. We don't have the time to address every single one on air. Our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. All right, we've got the 8 a.m. news. 7 a.m. I'm getting ahead of myself.
You got a 7, time machine.
I know. 7 a.m. news coming up in just a bit, so stay tuned right here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.